Yankees lose.
Our fucking city, and nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
But I want to say to our fans, our brilliant coaching staff, our amazing players who are so spectacular, this is unequivocally the sweetest.
All right, welcome to episode 10. My name is Thomas. For those of you who don't know, Max and Spencer, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Max. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing? This is Spence.
All right, so let's start things off talking Patriots. Let's pick things up on their needs they had after all their free agents had left. So I'm talking Lewis, Solder, Butler, all that stuff. So let's start on the offensive side of the ball. So they needed an offensive tackle after obviously Solder left for the Giants. He's the highest paid tackle in football now. And they went out and got Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn. Any feelings on that?
I think it was, there wasn't much they could do there because Nate Solder is kind of like the best you're going to get. But Isaiah Wynn, I like. It was a good use.
He's a stud. He only had five pressures like all lot. Of last year.
Yeah.
For Georgia.
It'll be really good.
Yeah, so
especially in the SEC, that's huge.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I liked both pickups. Brown could easily, step in there, be a starter. So could Isaiah Wynn. The Isaiah Wynn pick, was a nice typical Patriot pick that no one predicted. But other than that, if Isaiah Wynn doesn't really win the job or pan out after training camp or in the preseason and all that, and he doesn't comp out to be a good tackle, because he's short, he's not that tall for a tackle,
right?
But if he doesn't work out there, then you got yourself a pretty damn good guard after Shaq Mason leaves.
If
it gets to that,
From what I understand, they're gonna let Wynn kind of compete for the left tackle and left guard spot. For some reason they don't, not for some reason, but they don't feel comfortable with Joe Tooney at left guard. Yep. And that's because he gets demolished on interior passes, pass rushes. He can't contain
so bad
anyone.
In the pass rush.
So we
drop back 60 times a game. So
that's right. Exactly. It's necessary that you have someone who's good in that kind of position, because Tooney's a lot better when it comes to run. But what are you going to do other than that? What are you really going to do? Gets beat too much.
I think there may be a good chance you see Isaiah Wynn be the left guard and Trent Brown be the left tackle. If so, if you were able to draft. Because they traded their third-round pick for Brown. If you're able to get a starting left tackle in the third round and you're starting, obviously, left guard with Isaiah Wynn, I think that's a great move. I know a lot of people aren't really happy about it because it's not, a sexy pick. It's not anything,
No, but it's a necessary about, pick.
Wasn't our 31st pick, but...
This was our 23rd. We took Sonny Michel with the 31st.
I loved that pick. Right, love it. Everyone else hated it.
Let's move the conversation
segue
to
into
running
that,
back.
Yeah.
Right. So they lost Deion Lewis. There was an obvious need at the running back position. And they went out and got – they re-signed Burkhead, and they signed Jeremy Hill and Sonny Michel. They drafted Sonny Michel.
Yeah, they drafted Sonny Michel with the 31st pick. I love the Jeremy Hill pickup. I think Cincinnati. Obviously, you're not gonna do anything great there. I think he had a couple good years. I think his rookie year, maybe the year after that. And after that, it was kind of just fell off. But Sonny Michel, I love that pick. A lot of people hated that pick. A lot of people did not like that pick because he fumbles and he's a little injury prone. But when he is healthy, I'm trying to look at the bright side. When he is healthy, he is so deadly out of that backfield.
Dude, he's Alvin Kamara. He's Alvin Kamara when healthy.
Yeah, he really is.
I despise.
He's more powerful than Kamara.
I despise the pick at first, but the more research I did on it, the more I looked at his combine numbers compared to Kamara's and Kareem Hunt's, I really like the pick. And I also read that a reporter for the Patriots talked to rival GMs, asked them questions, and they said that defending the Patriots is going to be a nightmare now because of how many things Michelle can do and what he adds.
People are calling him the steal of the draft. Yeah.
Dude's a constant home run threat when he's on the he's on the field.
You watch him at Georgia. I watched Georgia throughout the year, and like every time it seemed like every time someone's busting a 50-yard run, it wasn't Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was fine when you were on the 10. When you're on the you're in the other 20, and Sony Michel, all of a sudden, boom, done, touchdown. He is such a talent. The fact that he fell to 31, we got him, I think is a blessing.
Yeah, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball for one last subject. So obviously the Pats lost out to the Dolphins on retaining Amendola. There was an obvious need there. They needed to add a bit of depth after they traded Cooks and everything. So they signed Jordan Matthews, but then they kind of surprised. I mean, I don't know if this was that surprising, but they drafted Braxton Berrios out of the University of Miami, and I've seen. I don't know. Some guys are saying that some guys on NFL Network are saying that that's the steal of the draft. His pro comparison is, if everything goes according to plan, it is Danny Amendola. But the more I'm reading on him, and the more a couple of Patriots analysts and stuff like that, they're saying he compares more towards Wes Welker than he does Amendola and Edelman. So that's interesting.
Welker's high. It's very high. But
I mean, it's a high comparison.
I'll start with Jordan. Jordan Matthews.
Well, we're talking best. Bad. We're talking best case scenario.
Yeah, scenario. Everything pans out. Yeah, he can be really good.
A little white receiver from Miami. I don't know. Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Heard of it before?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Pats get their hands on one of them. I mean,
Chris Hogan
was drafted to the Dolphins.
Did you see all the memes from that? It was like a white receiver in the whatever round they got him in.
Yeah, and you see Bill Belichick ones.
Those were so funny. It's so friggin' true. Like,
it is.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Little white receiver, yeah. Tough, likes five, getting eight, hit. 5'8".
Five eight receiver that fell out of the second round. Yeah, sure. I guess we'll take him. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to the defense. Everyone I talked to, all my friends and everything like that, they were very worried about the defensive side of the ball, and a lot of them were pissed at Belichick for not jumping on this early in the second and third rounds and even fourth rounds. But here's the thing. I read that Belichick, when he scouts players to draft, he lumps them into groups, and Juwan Bentley and Christian Sam were kind of lumped into his third and fourth round groups, and they fell into the fifth and sixth rounds. So Belichick was looking at this as a steal. You can trade back. Basically, you get your guy you want in the third round, plus you get more assets. That's why I think that's why I think he did a great job. So let's talk about the first. Let's talk about the first linebacker he drafted, Juwan Bentley, out of Purdue. He had 97 tackles, 11.5 tackles for loss, one sack, and an interception with three pass breakups. From what I understand, they think that he's going to be the starting middle linebacker on downs 1 and 2. And that he already could be an elite run defender. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think it's good. Obviously, his stats from college aren't unreal, but he also went up against in the Big Ten some of the best competition out there besides the SEC. So
yeah,
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think we needed a pick. We need a linebacker. I think he's better than a Landon Roberts, based on athleticism and all that. Yeah. I mean, he's 6'2", 260. He's not, 6 foot, 5'11", and all that. So he's obviously an athlete that you need there. And, I feel like it's a lot better than, what you have now. So you see what you got in him.
Yeah. So then they took Christian Sam as another linebacker in the sixth. He had 127 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 1 interception, and 1 pass breakup. He was considered one of the most athletic running backs. I mean, not running backs, sorry. One of the most athletic linebackers in the draft. And as an overall grade, according to Pro Football Focus, he had the third highest rating out of every linebacker. The only two above him were Edmonds and Roquan Smith. So, potentially, if things pan out and if the Pats use him correctly and, the way they want to use him works out, you could be looking at another home run for Belichick. So that's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on throughout the season. Do you have any thoughts about that pick? Did you like it? Did you not?
I thought it was a good pick. I think trading the draft picks itself was a good pick to slide down. But
we're absolutely loaded for next year.
We are even though people may think that we're a little behind, like, the eight ball, based on, like, the big names, like receivers and stuff, yeah. I think our defense is going to be much improved.
I have a theory on why we did all this, but I'll save it for another time. It's very interesting because I want to inform the both of you about it before I present it.
I'm probably going to love it.
So they needed a defensive tackle with the loss of, I mean, look, they didn't even lose Alan Branch. He wasn't there all year last year.
He never
showed up. I mean, they signed him to, I think they gave him like $7 million last year. He went MIA. He was horrible. So they went out and traded a third round pick for Danny Shelton. They declined his fifth year option already. So there's a chance he may not be back with the team next year unless he does well. He's going to be another guy that'll be in. You know, he's going to be a run defender. He's not going to be put in. If they think a pass is coming, he's going to be out of the game.
Man is going to be a brick wall.
Yeah, the there is.
That's
yeah,
all he's. That's all. Is.
Yeah. No shotgun by him.
Well, I mean, your interior run defense. You've seriously improved that with Bentley and Shelton.
Mm-hmm. And then the constant improvement of Malcolm Brown going on there. Yeah. He's become a leader on the team and all that.
Yeah, Brown's going to turn into a two-way player,
players. You added some athletic linebackers. You're getting Derek Rivers back. I don't even think
you get Dante. You get Hightower back.
Right, I don't even think you added Claiborne too. I don't think people realize how good of a year, what's his name,
Adrian Claiborne.
Derek Rivers had his last year in college.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
I was looking at the stats again the other day, and I was like, Jesus, he had like 100 tackles, like 25 tackles for loss, 17 sacks. It was sick. He seriously could. I saw a thing that said he's going to start over Claiborne.
It depends on his body. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if he's feeling healthy.
So not only that, but like at the end, like before he got injured, he did not look like, you know, a typical defensive end, defensive guy on the defensive line. He looked skinny. I'm not gonna lie, wasn't.
They said that they were thinking of putting him at linebacker last year. He'd be a hybrid guy.
Yeah.
We'll see how he progresses and how
he's been healed up in the process. Yep.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm really interested to see the. Preseason games because, you know, they took Danny Etling. I want to see how he works out. I've seen some reporters saying that they predict that he's going to be the backup over Hoyer. Who knows? All right, so let's go to the last Patriots segment we got here. They needed a cornerback after the loss of Malcolm Butler. They went out and got Jason McCourty, who was, I think, the 34th rated cornerback in the NFL last season.
Yep.
And they drafted in the second round Duke Dawson out of Florida.
Love it.
I love this pick. 34 tackles.
Awesome pick.
Four interceptions and 9 pass breakups. That is, I've already seen some things saying that he's going to be your starting nickel cornerback. He'll be the starting slot cornerback.
Mm-hmm. Grinder. Absolutely. Yeah. So good. Good rate pick.
Yeah. All right. So we'll shift gears. I mean, OTAs are coming up soon. They'll have, you know, in what, geez, like 2 months, 3 months, they'll already be playing again preseason. So we'll keep tabs on the Pats as things develop. But it's currently Red Sox season. Mm-hmm. So after the Sox started off blazing hot, I mean, they were hot for almost half a month.
Yeah, they were. They
went in, they killed the Angels. I think the Angels like 3-10 after we left. They suck. So after that series, the Sox are 6-6. So
I don't want to say I called it and I was nervous.
I was supposed to say
an episode or two ago we were talking about how
they may flatline for a couple weeks. But that's not a big deal. They're what, 22-9.
They're 22-9 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: if you can rattle off a nice win streak like that and then go 500. We said
they'd still get over like 80 something wins or something. Yeah, like
exactly.
That's if they went 500. They're obviously not going to go 500.
I mean, you're still going to get your like win streaks in there and all that. You just got to be sure you avoid going under that and dipping below.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of things too is like we have the luxury of we got off to such a good start. We can kind of like, you know,
you kind of can like sit Mookie a couple games.
You can experiment a bit. Yeah, like they brought up Pomeranz a bit early. He had one start. This was his third start in the majors again this season. He went 6 innings. He gave up 3 runs, walking 2 while striking out 3. He almost gave up double-digit hits. It was one of the ugliest, best starts I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Every inning you felt like they were going to score 3 runs, but they didn't somehow. It was just
got himself out of a lot of jams.
Yeah.
It was a wild game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, you're facing
the worst team in the MLB. So
exactly, yeah. But like another thing with his starts is that, you know, he was like good in the fact that he was able to get out of jams and all that. But one thing I really didn't like, his velocity sucked throughout the game.
His velocity didn't suck. His velocity was terrible, actually.
It was so bad.
He couldn't get a single thing behind that ball.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like I saw like 89 miles an hour in the fourth inning. And it's like by that time you should be up in like the mid 90s or low to mid 90s for like what you're
low to mid 90s is would be I would that'd be perfect for the fourth inning, but
exactly.
Well, I also wanted to note that in 2017 it took Pomerantz about 4 or 5 starts to figure things out, and then obviously he became one of the best starters in the American League, pitching 6 or more innings in 16 of his last 25 outings last year. So he became very reliable after he had some time under his belt. But who knows? The velocity is down. Things aren't looking great. I mean, we'll know how he's going to be. He is scheduled to pitch the first game against the Yankees next week.
Oh, my God.
If he gets absolutely clobbered, he's gone. You got to send him down.
You got to let Velasquez get
the number 5 spot. You got to send Brian Johnson down, too. I think he's given up 12 runs in his last 4 innings pitched. He's been horrible.
Dude, he let up that. And remember the game, recently against Kansas City. Wasn't he the one who let up that 3-run home run to Soler off of that flat fastball?
It was awful. He has anxiety. He struggled his whole career with anxiety issues. I'm telling everyone right now, if they don't send him down, he thought anxiety of being a pro ball player was up. I'm gonna give him panic attacks every week. I'll get tickets right by the bullpen and I'll scream in his face until he figures it out.
Spence, that 3-run dinger he let up was awful.
That was so bad. I'm sorry. That was hard to watch. Honestly, before it left his hand, I could feel like,
the second it left his hand, I think he knew that ball was going to get smoked. Because God knows I did. The second that ball left his hand, I was like, you saw Soler's
no doubt animation right there. I'm sorry. That was just so bad right there.
He has been a bucket of puke, but in the same sentence, Hector Velasquez has been anything but miraculous.
Yeah.
So he hasn't.
Velasquez hasn't hurt himself, but he hasn't helped himself. He's been consistently mediocre to average.
Normal.
Yeah. He's been status quo. Yeah,
Hector has 20 innings. He has a 2 ERA and he's 4-0. That's sick.
If he's your fifth starter, I don't know if that lasts though.
I think he lasts five.
Steven Wright's coming back in a week.
That's true.
He's getting off his suspension for being a scumbag, beating his wife. Mm-hmm.
What a dick.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. But you know, if he's gonna be productive, I guess whatever. But the Sox play
Dallas Cowboys of baseball.
Yeah, the Sox play the Rangers for the next 4 games, and they can give themselves a good cushion going into the Yankee series. They play in an hour, so we'll see how that goes.
Series is going to be real good.
It's
going to be sick.
It's going to be a lot better than the first one. Must see TV.
So speaking of in an hour, we have Celtics game 2. I personally can't wait.
Shaking.
I thought game 1 was one of the best games I've ever seen.
Definitely one of the most surprising games I've ever seen. Because I'll be 100% honest with you, I thought we'd win the game, but I didn't think we'd win like that. I didn't think Simmons would play the worst of all time. Ben Simmons played awful.
The Celtics are 4.5 under right now. They're still underdogs.
They're 4.5 underdogs, and I think the money line's like 165 or something like that.
Yeah,
they're still at home with Jaylen Brown. They are favored to lose. Which is incredible.
Is Brown back today?
If he's back, he's on the bench. I don't know if he's cleared.
I saw he was doubtful.
I saw he was doubtful, and then I saw on Twitter he might have been questionable or something. I'm gonna look it up again.
All I know is if he's playing, he's coming off the bench. Stevens already said he's sticking with Game 1's lineup.
He's a game time decision as of 2 hours ago.
Okay.
I don't know if you're able to win or take game 2 again with like out a strong contribution from Brown. I would keep him on the bench right now. I want him a hamstring. You don't want to get worse.
Yeah, it's the last thing you want to do. What happened with Rondo? Rondo was hurt and he ended up tearing his ACL. Rondo had a bunch of injuries.
Ideally, what I would like to do is not even play him tonight and just wait till the Philly series Saturday when we go to Philly for those two games, because
Meek Mill's coming in tonight though.
Well, Brown's probably the toughest guy on the team in terms of like attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he can like, I don't know, I just like the prospect of him going into Philly and scoring like the first six.
Because I feel like this year Jalen's. Yeah, Jalen's like a cold. He's cold blooded this year. Yeah. He really is.
He can shoot.
Now. Yeah,
Jalen is cold blooded this year.
He's flat out just the kid's good.
Yeah,
he's 21.
He's one of the guys that, you know, should have been like in consideration for an All-Star spot. He may have not gotten it, but now that at the end of the season, when you see the list of people who should have been All-Stars, he's one of them. He's like the end of the season All-Star. Yeah,
Danny Ainge has three back-to-back-to-back absolute home run drafts: Terry Rozier, Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum. Sick.
Exactly.
Unreal.
Not to mention you're getting a freaking
contribution. You get Sacramento's pick next year, too.
Yeah, not only that, you've gotten contributions from the guys who
started game the picks, 6 and 7. Semi Ojeleye, the second round pick, started 6 and 7.
Once Semi like settles in next year, he's going to be a really good back.
Semi is an absolute unit, bro.
The kid's
Semi
a house.
Is an absolute unit.
Like, there's not a single thing getting by him.
Yeah, not to mention the team builders like Yabusele.
Jesus. I'm starting to get sick of him.
Dabusele?
Yeah.
Dabusele, bro, really the dancing am. Bear?
Oh, how can you be sick of him? He's
so overrated. I love him. Love him, but like I'm sorry, no, I'm like
dude, he hypes,
I know. He's not, yeah, I know.
He hypes the building when he hits a three. He hypes the building. Seriously. Gets everybody going.
All right, so do we want to give our series predictions?
Sure. I mean, yeah, sure.
I got season 5.
I got season 5? 7.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going right. Okay, 7. I get 5, dude. I'm going Celtics in 6.
I think they win tonight, steal one in Philly, and come back and seal the deal.
I don't know
if we can steal one in Philly.
I don't know. I that's why I said 7, because I don't. I honestly think there's something weird with us on the road. Honestly, it's been a thing year.
The 2008 team didn't even win a game until game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So.
We went 7 with the Hawks or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
it was brutal. But all right, so that should wrap it up. I'm sure next week we'll see who's going to be right or wrong, because the series may be over if I'm right.
Yeah,
we'll be in game 6 or 7 if you guys are right. So we'll end it in
6. Scary Terry.
All right, thanks for listening. Anyone that listened this far.
Yep.